KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I'm Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We're here to rock your Monday night.
Woohoo!
Into the geek stratosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that is.
Or photosphere, even.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We'll go there.
All right. I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm able, I think. Hopefully.
Yes. Yes.
We'll find out.
People Perhaps. Are generally more photogenic in the photosphere, so.
I mean, oh, okay.
Yeah. We want to make people look good.
And if we do a really awesome job, we might even break out of the solar influence of our sun.
Ah. Oh, man. Wow. I'm ready. I think, okay. Now I'm really excited. If we can do that.
I wasn't before.
Well.
But now.
We stepped it up a bit.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, but I think we can do it, gents.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can do it. Well, if you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about
space
and comic books and movies and video games and all that stuff and maybe even some
zombies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have Potential. Talked about zombies in the past.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, and you know what we love about doing our show is we love it when you, the listeners, participate.
That's right. And if you would like to, like... You're thinking, like, that sounds like fun. How do I jump in?
Oh,
you
yeah.
can jump in at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those two are live and online in the background.
Large will, and in charge.
We will be checking them throughout the show. Send us your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. It's not quite as regularly checked during the show because we got a bunch of windows going, but Twitter and Facebook. The turnaround's real fast on those.
They're right there. That social media.
Yep.
Lightning
immediacy.
Fast.
Yes, so fast.
Blazing quick.
Blazing speeds of the internet.
Such speeds.
Blazing speeds of Facebook.
Much internet.
And Twitter.
Yes.
Wow.
Twitter never sounded like really fast to me, but I guess it would be. It would have the advantage because it's shorter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's made of cats, and cats are fast, so there's that.
They generally.
Yeah, they can be fast.
I've met some slow cats.
It's true.
Or not slow. They like
lazy.
Taking their time.
Mm-hmm. Cats yeah. like, I'll get that in about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm good and ready.
So last week's show was kind of a blowout of 2015. There was so much stuff we didn't even get to finish.
I know.
All the things that we, you know, really loved about 2015.
There was even more stuff.
There was even more stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were down to basically the top three. We went back and looked at our top 10 list from the beginning of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, okay, these are the things we're looking forward to. And then now we're kind of looking back at those and going, boy, we were crazy. Or no, we were right on the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Some things changed around. Some things stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's always kind of fun to go back and look like what we're excited for at the beginning of that year, and then either,
what actually happened.
Yeah, like maybe it meets our expectations. Maybe it blows them away, or maybe it's like, why did I put that on my list?
Right.
Like, or something we didn't even know about happening comes out of nowhere, and like
it's true
makes our list
exactly. You
know? So. Where do you want to just jump to the top three?
Yeah, top three. Let's jump right into it.
Because I was thinking too, we kind of addressed a couple little things last week, but if there were any sort of like disappointments also, after we do, you know, our top three, we can kind of throw out some of those and then,
right.
And then we'll get to our brand new watch party,
mm-hmm.
selected by the Jason himself.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
So
it'll be the best.
Well, it goes without saying.
Yeah.
We'll
never know.
No, we know, right?
Totally. We know. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is known.
So, Joe, what was your number three, do you need a moment?
Yeah, why don't you go?
I will jump in. My number three on the list was the Minion movie. And
so this was this now
from last year.
From last year, okay. Just so that
just to clarify, this is for the continuation of the top 10 from last year that I was looking forward to. I put Minion's movie at number three. I ended up never getting to see it in theaters. So
or at all,
honestly, not because it didn't look good, just because I didn't get to it.
Yeah, that's happened in the past when we've done these a few times. Mm-hmm. Like I think. Each year we get a little better, so I'm hoping this year, everything we select, like,
yeah.
Unless it's like, well, it never came out, or, you know, like a really good reason why we never experienced it, we should try our best to hit all of them, since we are technically saying these are like the 10 things we are so excited for coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Go for it, Jason.
Okay. My number three was The Avengers.
Age of Ultron.
No, not the previous one.
I love it. It's every year. It's just number three.
It's just the same one over again.
It's number three.
Re-released. I still liked it a lot, but I actually mentioned earlier in previous night that it dropped quite a few spots down to near the bottom of the list. So, actually, the new replacement for it is Steven Universe for me.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
And that's kind of like we mentioned, like kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
you didn't have that.
I mean, it had been around, but it was one of those kind of nagging things that I think it definitely built up a lot of steam over last year also.
Okay.
Definitely. It's a pretty fun show from what little of it I have seen. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to catch it because I hear nothing but like, oh, yeah, I got to check that show out.
The nice thing is that most of the episodes are fairly short. They're like 15 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So getting through a bunch of them is not like an arduous task.
Okay. Is it a Cartoon Network show? Or
yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So, Joe, what was your number three?
Okay. My number three, excuse me. From last year was Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
My number three this year is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Probably the best video game I played last year.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's only like one tiny little part that I did not like,
mm-hmm.
but the rest I loved.
Awesome.
Like just fantastic, like hub worlds. It was beautiful. The performances were great. Like just the tombs were a lot of fun. Like the combat is like. Even better than the.
It was already pretty slick.
Ruby. Yeah, and it's just like they do a really cool job too of like the tombs since they're optional.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff like in the previous one, it's a video game, so like
right,
it sort of makes like in video game sense like I found a gun part in this ancient tomb box.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
Because the idea is like, no one's found these for so long. So it's like,
right.
There's this modern handgun part in here. Okay, it's a video game. It's cool. I'm having a good time.
It's treasure as video game describes it.
Exactly. But this time, they put those parts in like other like lock boxes throughout the maps. And what you find are like perks and feats.
Huh.
That kind of like boost Lara.
Mm-hmm.
So like I found one and they do a cool way of like tying it into kind of the history of the ancient people there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this one, it's all about like, these guys were great bow hunters and this and that. And they were able to do this sort of thing. So it's like, you now have the ability to fire like two arrows, you know, consecutively, like without having to, you know, like actually notch to sort of like Robin Hood kind of.
So, right.
You know, Prince of Thieves sort of style, but they do little things like that where they do their best to match like there was this sort of like ancient healing technique that these ancient people knew how to do. So now you kind of have like better health, like regeneration, or like, you know, little
right.
things
You're a
like
little
that.
Tougher,
so
isn't that? Okay.
It's still like video gamey, but I appreciate it a lot more. Where it was like, oh, they're trying to actually kind of match it with what's going on
yeah.
instead of like
it would be kind of make sense
in.
That you would draw out of. A reward that ties back to the thing that you're kind of looking into as opposed to, and now we've found a piece of a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no longer just a shotgun like sitting like, in midair spinning around.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. And it's...
Doom people, you know this. You know that drill.
Yeah. And then everybody copied it. Like, that works really well.
Yeah, let's do it. We want to do it? All right, yeah, let's do it. This is meeting.
Why don't guns
meetings?
Float like that?
I don't know. Doom did it. Yeah,
why not? Cool. Man, why not? Totally.
Well, the future, we'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you have the ability to play that game, I can't recommend it enough. It's fantastic. Especially if you enjoyed the first Tomb Raider reboot. Like, yeah. I can't see why you wouldn't enjoy this one. It's just like more of that, but like sprinkled with better stuff. Like, we've made it with even better ingredients, and here's some
bacon.
Sides. And
yeah.
Sure.
If you're into bacon.
Yeah, that's on my short list of games to play this year. I picked that up right at the end of December and didn't get quite a chance to sit down and play it. Which
right.
is amusing because that's my number two.
So that was your number two from last...
From last year.
Last year. So what is your number two now?
I'm going to give that to Destiny for the time
being.
Oh,
okay.
Because I knew I was going to like Destiny, but it surprised me how much I enjoyed Destiny.
Okay.
Like, the pick up and play, the ability to pick up and play the game kind of at your will, but also, like, the desire to go deep and dedicate yourself to it. Like, you can do both, and it, like, do it for, like, periods of time, and it doesn't, like, penalize you very much for not being, like, every single day jumping on the servers, so. And it's just a lot of fun, and the game world is really pretty, and I just like tooling around on the patrol missions, like, you're like, patrol is dumb, okay. Don't do anything for, like, 20 minutes. Like, maybe you, but...
Whatever voice is inside my head.
Yeah. I enjoy this game quite a bit.
Okay, my number two was actually Cuphead, which I have to stand up for because I actually read multiple places it was going to come out this year, but it didn't happen. So I am bummed about that, but I did get a chance to try it out at something that I did mention earlier, which was San Diego Comic-Con. So that was definitely a nice little bonus to that. Mm. And it's nowhere near what I expected and exactly everything that I expected at this exact same time.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because it concentrates so much on boss fights and kind of wandering around and picking fights with bosses around, it ends up making it so it's just a giant game of big set pieces, as far as I can tell so far. And it looks really cool, but I can't claim it because I didn't get to do any much more than just play a demo.
Mm-hmm. So what are you putting in its place?
So I'm probably going to get mocked for this.
All right, quick, get the mocking paper ready.
Right. I had to move something.
Ooh.
Oh.
To my number two spot, replacing Cuphead.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Attention.
Is the new Star Wars movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No right, mocking, just kind of like, oh, that's interesting. But what?
Yeah, that's
raises,
right. I put it number two.
Ooh.
I didn't put it number one.
To number one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Which might have been where it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And while you're on the edge of your seat,
yes,
you might want to make sure that you can listen to KSU even when you are not near a radio, because awesome things like this show up on here all the time. And you can stream KSU whenever you want to at kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. Then you can never be without the underground sound.
That's right. And our pro tip,
if you want to find us faster, search for our call letters, KSCU. They are unique to us on the globe, and they will drop you right into where we are now.
Into paradise.
Ooh, yes, Radio Paradise.
Radio Geek Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
Woo! Free tickets to paradise. I think that's how that song goes.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Sure. No complaints from me. Okay, my number two from last year was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So my number two this year now is Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
I've always loved the Mad Max movies, mm-hmm. ever since a wee lad watching them. And so, you know, when I heard about this new one and like from the very beginnings of it, like, okay, yeah, we're going to get Mel Gibson again. Oh, we're going to start shooting this. Oh, okay, that's got canceled. And
mm-hmm.
all these years later and all this, oh, okay, hearing all these sort of horror stories and was like, oh, okay. And then like, oh, we're going to get Tom Hardy. And it's like, oh, all right. Like, and then little clips of like, oh, Charlize Theron's in it. And there's, you know, she's missing an arm or something like this. It's like, okay, I'm getting kind of intrigued. Like, what exactly is all of this? Yeah. What is this leading to? Everything about it was like, no, this is not going to work. Like just all the stuff you'd hear off to the side. But finally go and see it. It was like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
George Miller did it.
Yep.
Like this is just fun, exciting, just like, oh yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. this is everything you really want out of a Mad Max movie.
Yeah. And it was funny to watch like all the afterfall of people like complaining like, oh, well, Mad Max isn't the main character in the movie. Like he's a side character. Charlize Theron, like, oh, this movie's like Mad Max become like a feminism movie or something. You know,
Mad Max scene, like, maybe.
Yeah. Like all this stuff. And just seeing kind of like the stuff of just like, wow, this is so stupid. Like all those things. And just seeing the, my favorite thing probably was a meme of a couple pictures of like a guy like asking, it was in the forum press. So I'm like asking Tom Hardy, he's like, how do you feel about Mad Max? Like, you know, basically all the stuff I said, like, oh, that he's a side character. And when you were reading the script, like, did you think this was right? Like, did it matter to you when you took this? And he just kind of like looked like at the guy and like looked at the people on the
stage. It was the perfect, like crazy guy look.
Yeah. Right. And then he's like, no. Like, it was just the perfect response. I was like, no.
But. Yes, and there's a certain vindication in that because it also got nominated for Best Picture this year.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
and like everything else.
Yeah, it's nominated for a lot of awards because it blew a lot of people's minds.
Yeah,
which is honestly really amazing for at this point a big action explosion movie.
Yeah.
That's what blew my mind about the entire thing. I never imagined that type of movie would occupy that slot ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought like, okay, like effects or, you know, any that movie always falls into those. Like some sort of technical thing of like maybe, you know, best cinematography or something along those lines, but never like best picture or anything or...
But people were like, no, we're going to put that one into the best picture round. Like, oh, really?
Yeah. So, that's my number two.
Mm.
Now we move on to number one.
All right. So last year I said my number one was the Usagi Yojimbo Saga Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
This did not disappoint, but it got slid to the side because the Usagi Yojimbo 2 Special Edition 2 volume from Fantagraphics came out.
Ah, okay.
And that is taking over its position.
Okay.
Again, not because the other one disappointed, but because the other one is just that awesome.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm reminded of the old like Fanta commercials.
No, the Fanta girls were not involved with this.
You can see them dancing on Usagi Yojimbo.
They're not dancing even pineapple
kimonos.
No, sorry. Unfortunately, not. But like we mentioned, I talked about going to SCCC and meeting Sensei, albeit briefly. He's become a major influence on me creatively.
Nice.
But like these stories are kind of unique because I sort of jumped into the middle of Usagi Yojimbo saga, not the saga volumes per se, but like the storyline saga,
the whole
epic that is the continuing adventures of Usagi, because a new issue came out this week, or will come out on Wednesday. But I didn't really, you know, read where it started, and it's very interesting to kind of go back to the very beginning of a story and see how an artist, you know, handled the characters back then and. As opposed, like as opposed to how they were presented now. Like, you know, compare the very first Garfield to modern day Garfield. Mm-hmm. You can still tell it's Garfield. You can still tell it's John Arbuckle, but you can see there has been a...
But Odie is unrecognizable.
Or he's gone through some changes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. But like, the main thing is that you can still like, see like the... As the character itself evolves over time, the artist's style, the more time the artist spends drawing this character, they find different ways of conserving line or making it more mode expressive. Mm. And it's just really interesting to go back and see a more, quote-unquote, silly, funny animal, in quotes, like style. You see Yojimbo that has a more like rabbit-like face. As was like, now the current one, you can still tell he's a rabbit, but like but... the... Wow, that's a rabbit head on a human body. Like, that aspect of it is reduced, and it's a little more of a... But no matter what, like, the writing is still top-notch. The art is still amazing. There's nothing to complain about. It's just sort of interesting seeing the style shift.
And yeah, that's cool. You have the opportunity to do it with those collections, like, seeing, you know...
How something evolves into what you know and love today. Mm-hmm. And also, like, it gives me a little background on some of the... Because, like... The one nice thing about the Usagi Yojimbo storyline is that it's very self-contained. Like, you can do like small story hops within the universe, and then there's a few like overarching bigger, longer plays that are going on too in the background, and like getting some of those in on some of those is really cool.
Nice.
Bigger hops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like not like an IPA, but but like better.
Not with all the hops.
Usagi Yojimbo IPA.
Think it's about got it. Hops. It's genius. Yeah,
it's true. If you see the the author, the artist again, you'd be like, look, maybe you won't be able to ever make this beer like a reality, but you could draw like a mock thing of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is there like such a thing as an IPA sake or no?
I don't think so.
Maybe.
A Japanese IPA would be quite the thing, since they tend to do lagers. But anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, that would be cool. Like, I have this idea. Can you draw this picture?
Yeah.
Usagi Yojimbo with that. He's like, that's genius. You, come right for me and draw. Like, okay.
While inside.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
Jason, what's
moving
your number one?
To Jason's number one.
Okay. I'm going to make you guys guess my number one.
So it was last...
Last year it was Star
Force
Wars.
Awakens.
Yes,
Star Wars
Force Awakens. Awakens.
Okay.
And now number one is... can you give us a hint?
It's already been mentioned tonight.
Oh.
Is it playable on the Xbox One?
It very well might be.
Does it begin with the letter D? And end with
D
Estiny?
As in delightful? Yes. Yes. I think you're on to something. My number one is Destiny.
I thought you put Destiny...
I double checked. I actually didn't.
Oh, okay.
It was the first thing I talked about when we were talking about highlights.
So, okay.
Most of the stuff you can easily rewind and find out my thoughts from back then. But mostly it's the same idea as what Caleb was just mentioning, is that it's really accessible for whatever mood you're in, whether you feel like doing something really deep or you feel like kicking somebody's butt, who is like a fictionalized version of a real person on the other end of some other Xbox.
Yep.
It just does everything very comfortably and fairly well, and makes it so you constantly feel like you're being rewarded. So that's kind of the ideal for games of its ilk right now. So.
Yeah.
And you like the improvements that it's made since it didn't actually come out last year? Like,
yeah, technically it would be the Taken King improvements that I'm mostly talking about.
Okay,
and that ended up changing how your characters actually level and made it a lot more accessible to people and so on. Just so your mind isn't completely blown. How to get your character to something above level 20. It's like, I can't level anymore. Okay.
plus force lightning hands.
But that guy is like level 40, so what's going on there?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is, for the most part, no more. It's all about making yourself more powerful once you get to the highest level now.
Finding cooler and cooler gear.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
But also it makes sense, like your character physically has reached a limit, and now it's the gear you can pick up that helps you out.
Yeah.
Cool. So Joe.
Different approach.
Mm-hmm.
My
number one
was Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And big surprise, it's still number one
hey!
On my list.
Okay.
I think mostly...
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
this is blowing my mind.
It is a huge shock. I think mostly why it stays at number one is mm-hmm. just because they pulled it off. Like, mm-hmm. like
that's true.
It is a really fun movie, like on its own, and
everything
like that. Like I mean, we did a whole Around the Water Cooler episode,
yeah,
all about
2 hours
it,
about
so,
it. So,
so you can go and listen to that and hear all our thoughts and stuff. But just the fact that they actually pulled it off,
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
maybe
much
not
like Mad Max, everything pointed at it.
Yeah,
failing.
Yeah. Maybe not everything was perfect for everyone, or you know, but mm-hmm. just there was enough. It's like, come on, they did it. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
look at the prequels. A lot of people, you know, didn't really like those. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not one of those. Like, it's,
exactly, it's yeah. it's a new Star Wars movie that is not a rehash of the ones we don't like. It's more like the ones we do like, and it's angling us towards a different future.
Yeah, it just it adds so much stuff. It gets us talking again, and it's mm-hmm. just fun. Like, I've
really cool heroes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I've seen it 4 times, and it's still like
nice.
You know, each time it's still a blast. And I know on our
mm-hmm.
on our podcast we were asked like debating between, you know, we mentioned like who our favorite characters were, and
right.
I was like mm-hmm. like tied between two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think. Just so, like, I have to pick one, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be, like, lame. Like, oh, you pick one. Everyone,
yeah.
The other two guys did.
You
so.
Don't want to be lame.
No, I don't want to be lame. So
you're not
I
lame.
Think I will go with Rey. I think I will.
Okay.
I know that's a spoiler but go listen to the Around the Water Cooler still.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spoiler for the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruined.
Ah, who's Rey? You ruined it. I'm not seeing that movie anymore.
Right.
I'm going to go see Ride Along 2 instead. Which...
You weren't planning on seeing it before?
Yeah. Now, I should put in a note here that while it has been noted by others that Star Wars was not in my top 10 that I was looking forward to last year, for me that was because when they announced that it was going to be coming out that year, my ticket was basically sold at that moment. So I didn't need to like look forward to it. I just knew I was already there. So that's my
dude.
Defense.
You totally
Lame.
Forgot. I did not.
Lame.
You totally forgot.
I did not.
Lame.
We were
Lame.
There.
Lame.
But it's okay. I mean, it was like a year away at that point, so it's not beyond the pale.
Just next time, don't do that. We'll let it slide this time. But...
Yeah, because the look on your face was beautiful, like when we mentioned it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, right.
Oh,
that.
Crap. I forgot. Yeah.
But yeah, it's because the ticket was already sold.
There you go.
Well played.
Would someone like to read a PSA? I'll give you a choice. You can read whatever one you want. If you're in the mood for helping animals or telling people about 211.
Animals sounds more interesting than numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals and find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Okay, so now that we've gone through our top 10, you know, the top 3 here finishing off this night, Mm-hmm. Let us now discuss, you know, we don't have to go a whole bunch, but, you know, if there's a few things that were unfortunately disappointing to you from 2015. I know, let's see, last week, what was the one you mentioned?
I mentioned Age of Ultron was a bit of a disappointment.
And
Kingsman.
Kingsman, that's
Kingsman,
right.
Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Especially because that was on your list, and so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, yes, I was not happy with the results of that particular film. Yeah.
So yeah, does anyone have something? I can go first if you...
I didn't have any really big crippling disappointments. I know this seems weird to kind of pick on, but for me, Agent Carter was a disappointment. It ended up... I still feel like it was a good show.
Yeah.
I mentioned this last time too. It just felt like there were so many more possibilities, and it wandered into some areas that I wasn't expecting that I thought were really cool. But the rest of it, I felt like it could have been dialed up at least a little bit more to make it at least a little bit more action packed or something.
Okay, fair enough. Be curious to see how the second season goes with it, since they're different location and like kind of what style they're going to go with.
Yeah, I still have really high hopes because I think I'd also mentioned that in the past, one of my kind of disappointments had been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that has definitely stepped up.
Yeah.
And a lot of the same creators are involved in that. So I have a feeling it's going to get there. It just might need time to ramp up. It didn't quite sell me right away like it did for a lot of other people.
Fair enough.
I would say, because it was on my list last time, Chappie.
Mm-hmm.
I like the robot himself, but the movie, like, I just wish it was...
I still haven't seen it. I feel weird. Like,
I think I've mentioned it before when we may have ended up seeing it, that sort of thing, but, like, I think the director... Neil Blomkamp, he has some really cool ideas, but I think someone else should take his stuff and do it. Like, to me, he's kind of, as weird as this may sound, like, he's kind of a George Lucas. Like, George Lucas has some really cool ideas, same with Star Wars, but it's better when someone else, like, takes over the reins.
Okay.
Like, does the actual directing of the story?
Yeah, like maybe like have Neil come up with the story and some of the designs. Like, he has really cool sketches and designs, concepts and everything like that. But when it comes to the movie itself, they've been like, for me, like District 9, still probably my favorite. But it's gone down, like Elysium was disappointing. This one's disappointing. Like it's just like he's kind of gone. So it's like, I see the stuff he talks about for the like his Alien movie, and it's like, well, that looks really cool, but his track record is not that great. So maybe if someone else did them, that would be cool. If, like, he stuck with maybe a producing role or something like that. But
yeah, I'm with you though. Like, it's hard because like I do like his style.
Yeah,
they're fun. They're interesting movies. It's just, I don't know. Chappie was just, it had such tonal problems. Like,
yeah, it was, it had like neat little elements to it, but just like as a whole movie itself, it was just kind of like, this is not.
It was sort of, describe it as the Cold Stone ice cream problem. Like, you see all the things that you want in there, and then you put them all into the thing, and you're like, this does not taste good at all.
Right.
Because, like, you didn't, cause, like, the
normally
flavors
I like pepperoni.
But maybe
for some reason.
With mint ice cream, not such a good combo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically mint, though. Chocolate, I'm gonna have to try next time around.
But it's like, you know, there's like all the individual parts good on their own, and even like in pairings they're not bad. But something about this particular mash didn't quite
didn't
gel.
Yeah, unfortunately. So yeah, that was a disappointment for me. And I would also say this, it's Fallout 4 in a sense. Like,
okay.
I I still really like it, and it's fun.
I've been waiting for this because I can see like the reluctance in your eyes every time you talk about this.
But it's just, it's so weird. Like, either I'm missing stuff, or it just seems so like I don't know how to. The main story doesn't seem like it's flowing terribly well. Like, there's different factions, and so you can kind of side with different ones. And like, I'll side with like as a group, the Minutemen, and like their whole thing is like just kind of trying to get like settlers and everyone like back up and running, and like kicking out raiders and building up farms and that sort of thing. Just sort of helping the everyday people. And so they'll
worthy cause.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they'll come up to you and like the leader of them or someone will come up and be like, hey, you know, we're getting attacked by raiders. Like nearby, there's this band of raiders. They're coming there. You know, they're hitting our farm. Like, could you go and stop them? You know, and I'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. And I'll look at the map and like, you know, I was like, okay, I'll put it on your map, and I'll open it up, and it's like, their base is all the way on the other side of the map. So it's like, you just said it was around the corner. Like, there's weird things like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's like repeated, that kind of stuff gets repeated a lot. And it's a cool way to like level up, but it's also annoying because if you're trying to do like the main thing, and I know the argument is, well, you don't have to do those. And yes, you don't have to do them, but I don't know. It just
feels wrong not to.
Yeah, and it's just, it's such a weird, like, because I don't want to get into the story too much of like spoiling stuff, but you can decide to either be the dad or the mom, and something happens like with your kid, and so if you're like looking at it from just the story perspective, it's like, why in the world would your guy do a bunch of this other stuff? Like, if they had framed it a little more of like, okay, this, your guy needs to go and do these certain things to get like information, like, hey, I'll help you if you help me. Like, okay, that makes sense. It's the post-apocalypse. Like,
so kind of like the problem that some people had with Mass Effect. It's like, you're trying to save the world and trying to fix other people's little problems ends up feeling a little bit out of place.
Kind of.
Okay.
It's weird. It's like, for some reason in Mass Effect, like, I didn't mind that. But like in this, it just feels so weird. I guess it's more because where Mass Effect, it's like this, you know, the global, like, oh, the end of the universe.
Right. End of the galaxy.
Yeah. Where this is like, it's just your character's kid. So it's like, it feels, in a weird way, like more personal than like if the entire galaxy was ending.
Yeah.
In a strange way.
Yeah,
like,
I can see
if that makes sense.
Yeah. If it's too big, you don't quite take it as seriously because it's like, reality of me actually fixing this?
Yeah.
So. Or even like if it's the whole galaxy, the fact that you can help out this person within the galaxy doesn't just take away from helping the galaxy. Like those ends aren't incongruous. But if someone's saying someone's goal is to find a child or information about a child, and someone says, oh, hey, that thing that we want you to help us out by going all the way across the world effectively and doing something else, it's like, not necessarily no, but like, why is it framed that way? I'm sure, like you said, if it was a little bit different, tighter writing perhaps, or different.
It just feels like people sometimes complain about like, oh, stuff like taking them out of a game, like, oh, this makes me feel like I'm playing a video game. Fallout 4 is a lot of like, makes you feel like playing a video game. Okay. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I'm still having fun with it. I'm dumped, like, I looked at the total like 5 days and something hours. I've dumped a lot of time into the game. I'm just, I don't know, like, either maybe I'm missing certain things, because I'll hear from other people like, oh, yeah, this character's super cool, or oh, when you win this, I'm like, I never ran into that person, or like, I didn't. And I stuck with the like robot companion just because it could actually say Django. So like when he's like, Mr. Django, I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, I was like actually saying like my name in the video game.
Nice.
So
it's kind of cool.
And it's still like, I think he's a cool character. You could put a little bowler cap
Nice.
But yeah, and like, I would still recommend it. It's just weird. Like, I have to say, though, it is somewhat of a disappointment because it's not quite like
what you were looking for. Or
I don't know. Hmm. It's so weird. I was hesitant because I was like, well, I don't think I could put this on my top 10.
Okay.
But like, mm-hmm. it was still good. But I should say it was still a disappointment, mm-hmm. even though it was still good.
Like, okay,
I gotcha. It's fair. It's a fair critique of something. It's like you can like it and still think it's not quite what it could be.
Yeah. Oh, and then they offer you like to in the settlements to actually like build houses and things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work very well. Like,
oh,
they. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard some people say that's kind of a.
It's a cool idea, but I'm really hoping if another company ends up doing like they had like Fallout 3 came out and then mm-hmm. Fallout New Vegas came out. If
right.
another company like does like an offshoot
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and takes everything sort of from Fallout 4 and does their spin on it, I'm kind of hoping like, hey, maybe they'll come up with something. Plus, mm-hmm. plus the fact that like now or at some point, at least first on the Xbox, like mods will come.
Right.
So
right.
I'm hoping that like maybe there'll be some mods that fix some of these little things, like
mm-hmm. yeah.
the building aspect. Because
that'd be cool.
It's kind of cool, but it's like you try and build like a wall or a floor on the ground, and it doesn't like mat like ground's not like
level.
So like when you try to build like a wood wall, and it's like. Psh, so you could still see like the dirt in the hole, and then even if you put a floor down, it doesn't like. It looks so weird. It just drives me sort of crazy. Like that's not real. Like that's not normal. Like
right.
I can't go. And I just want to put
a
freaking
house that way?
Wall. Like it won't let me connect one. It's like I gotta go around this thing and build out to the. Ah, why am I doing this? It's pointless anyway. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, it's always fascinating when like certain games like there's a point where you're like this aspect of the game, toss it out the window. I'm done with it.
Yeah, but I still have to say though, just I do still like it.
Mm-hmm.
It did disappoint me a bit.
Fair enough.
Any others? Want to throw? And it could be like I was kind of thinking about it mm-hmm. like mine too. It could be something that you enjoyed, but maybe it wasn't quite as what you'd hoped it was
mm-hmm.
during
mm-hmm.
that year. Like, oh man, I was hoping that game or show was or book or.
It's funny. I think the biggest thing for me is that I've ended up being really cautious about what games I end up getting, and I either know that I already have a certain amount of devotion to them, or they come high enough recommended that I generally don't have any problem. Like one of the games that I didn't even end up mentioning on the list, but I know at least one of you mentioned was the Tales from Borderlands game.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for lack of it being like awesome or anything. It was just not quite number 10 or whatever. And I think I've run into that a lot more. Like I've ended up playing a bunch of fighting games lately that I honestly tried really hard to like stay away from. But yeah, I enjoy that genre way too much to do that effectively.
Right.
So.
So one of the other like kind of what it didn't really make my top 10. I was kind of hoping it might, but there's a book called Name of the Wind.
Okay.
By Patrick Rothfuss, and every person I heard talk about it, the general recommendation came down to not these exact words from each person, but effectively buy the book and thank me later. So I bought the book. I got quite literally halfway through. It was about it's roughly 770 pages. I read till 355, and then I'm just like, you know, I just nah. No, this book. it's not even that it's a bad book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not a book for me.
Okay.
And that's always frustrating. I was like, I was really hoping to enjoy this. It's like, everyone's like, this amazing fantasy novel. I'm like, there's parts of it that I thought were really cool. I just could not get into this book at all. The main character was like, like they weren't that way. That's how I felt about them. They're like, everything is going to come down to the fact that you're just that much cleverer than everyone else. That's the end game. you're not gonna get better or worse than that because you're already better than. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah,
good storytelling, excellent word choices. I'm not saying he's a bad writer. Just that book was not for me. Not at all.
Yeah,
horrible writer.
That's always disappointing, especially when it's something that like you hear from around, you know, everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this is great. Oh, this is.
And I've read these people books by these other they've other books that they've recommended, and they're like, yeah. Okay, I liked that one.
Yeah.
This one.
Let's leave that one right there.
Yeah. You always feel like, wait, am I weird? Like, am I missing something? Because everyone else seems to really like it. Like,
yeah.
Like, sounds like we're kind of winding down a little bit. I'll throw this one out. I didn't watch it last year, and I haven't finished it, but like, I gave it the old like. 3 episodes anime like try and I don't know One Punch Man I'm like, wait, everyone's saying this is so good. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, what am I missing something? Like I get, like I look at it, I'm like, okay, I get why that would be really funny, like why people would be really into this. But is it all just like referential humor? Like, is it just all about just kind of poking fun at like other anime stuff? Like,
yes and no. It ends up getting more creative with how it does it the farther you go. But I mean, I feel like if you've like maybe give it one more episode and see what you feel like.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that if it doesn't hit you after 3, most likely it's not your bag.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I've seen like 2 episodes you showed us. I liked those 2 so far, but I also can see like where it's like sort of like you wonder is. One could ask the question, is this all there is to this show?
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing that I kind of misrepresented was that as the show goes on, it actually shows kind of the better qualities of the main character. Because as it stands right now, it's just that he's so bored out of his mind because he's gotten so powerful that's what perpetuates his every thought. But he starts running into things where he actually has to either contemplate or try and figure out how to save a situation from a different perspective than punching something. and it gets more interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not so invested in that it becomes all about that either. So that's why I'm like,
yeah,
I don't
hard
know.
To say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there may be more to it that you find it a little bit later on. I have find that sometimes I have to get up to 5 episodes before an anime grabs me, but that's kind of like,
yeah.
A lot of times I'm not sold until the very end of the series. I'll be honest, like, because a lot of them, it seems like that's when you realize what they've really been building for and what's really clever about the series. Like, I feel like I was along for the ride because it was kind of fun for most of the Full Metal Alchemist series. And then it got to the end, it was like, oh, wow, all of this stuff actually had, like, a meaning. And it plugged in together nicely. And you start plugging things together for what it meant for other things down to the first episode. Mm. And that's... It's probably one of the biggest examples for me, but
it
seems like it happens more and more.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've just kind of gotten to the point of like, I have so much stuff to watch. Like, if it doesn't hook me, like, Like the anime 3, like I usually give 3. It's like, if it's not hooked me, sorry. I've got hundreds of Naruto episodes to watch or One Piece or something like that.
I'm much more likely, I think, also to venture into really weird territory as far as that goes also. I started watching this one anime called Silver Spoon. It's literally about a kid who doesn't know what to do with his life, and there's some sort of secret about why he's chosen this path, but he wants to get away from his family, like, at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it's, of course, in Japanese high school, it's quite a bit different than here. It's basically where you prep for whatever college you want to go to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your career path is decided effectively.
If not, sort of filling in for a trade school or something like that. So this kid, he goes to a high school that is a learning farm. So he basically just learns how to be a farmer
in
all of these different little niches of farming, whether it's like raising chickens or riding horses and all of this other stuff. And I don't know why that series has been like so zen, like beautiful for me. And I can't figure it out. There's nothing to it, really. There's no big payoff in any of the ends of the episodes. It always ends up being like, what would be the big payoff is just like, oh, eggs are good. But it's hard to explain until you see it. It makes sense, and it feels like a real ending. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that's very different from the typical, like, you're going to magic school, or this is the train for hunting demons, or something like.
And that might be as simple as that. Like it's an atypical anime high school story, because like so many of them are like they went into the spirit world and came back as monster hunters, and now as the worlds collide, we must fight back against the darkness.
I'm waiting for that to happen, like, any second in the series, because it's still an anime. I'm waiting for that. Like, aliens are going to pop up or something.
They were really demon chickens. You ate demon eggs.
Maybe.
And now you have demon powers, with which you will use to destroy the world.
That's right. Why did I eat the eggs?
No. Eggs are good.
Right. Yeah. Does, like, a little finger movement every time it does it. Eggs are good.
Eggs, yes. Eggs.
Well, speaking of anime,
yes.
A little segue here.
Oh, yes, yes.
We've got our brand new watch party we're going to start up.
This year, yes, Jason.
Yes.
You picked it for us this time.
Actually, it's funny that the timing for that is almost perfect, because Silver Spoon was another one of the ones that I was contemplating.
Oh, okay.
Forcing you guys to watch.
Inflicting upon us.
And a decent chunk of it was that I had fond memories of an old British show called All Creatures Great and Small.
I remember that show.
And so I felt like it was kind of an anime version of that, from what I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up choosing something that sounded way crazier than that. And there's definitely some mystical influences here. The name of the series is called Devil is a Part-Timer.
Okay.
It came out in 2013, so it's not all that old.
Okay.
But it's only 13 episodes long. I don't know if there's going to be another season of it.
Okay.
But I was thinking that we'd do 2 episodes.
Sounds good. Smaller series, that works. So I think we did that for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the basic plot of it is, the devil went on some big conquest to, like, conquer some world or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And got his butt handed to him.
Okay.
And
take that, devil.
Ha! And it sounds like the master plan of his general, for whatever reason, is to have him work at, like, kind of a McDonald's type of place.
Okay. There's that anime twist.
So I don't know how it's all going to come together. I don't even know if I completely misunderstood that, but because it sounded so weird. But the ratings on it have been pretty nuts.
I've heard a lot of people give it pretty high marks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
So yeah. Hopefully. Here's hoping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both fingers crossed. Maybe some toes.
So if you're new to our watch party, what we do is we watch, well, this one we'll watch episodes 1 and 2
mm-hmm.
this week.
Yes.
And then next Monday, we'll come back and we'll talk about episodes 1 and 2, which means we're going to go talk about the episodes.
Things will be spoiled.
All that stuff. So, but the idea is you watch it
with us. Or if you don't
us.
Feel like watching it, you can just learn
exactly.
from us.
Exactly. Yeah. You can do that as well. But the idea is you watch it with us.
Yes.
And then, you know, you tell us your thoughts on the episode while we discuss it as well and all those things. And Caleb, how can they do that?
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both those places, will you can leave comments, like page, likes, fave stars, whatever you like. Or you can go to our website, robotsattack.me. That has archives of the show, plus links to everything that we've been talking about and we'll continue to talk about. So you will have links to how to find the show, and you can leave comments there as well.
Yeah. But yeah, we decided to do it because we and just another way for you, the audience out there, to participate on the show.
To feel connected, to feel plugged in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To the excitement.
And what we do is we don't like watch any other episodes. Like we just so it's fresh in us, like we've never watched the show before, so we're not like, oh, I know what's gonna happen in this other episode here. So it doesn't taint your views right. or your thoughts.
We try and stay away from the taint.
Yes.
Oh my.
And so you do that as well and just watch them with us. But all right, so I think we'll take a music break and then
sounds
we'll come back with some new releases and the news and all the rest of that jazz. And so, all right, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here in KCU Santa Clara. We are now in the new releases.
Hooray.
Let's give them some new releases. All right. Starting us off, we have...
Give you a dose.
The fifth wave. It's the fifth wave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not one, dose as in two. Nope. Yeah, no.
It's the fifth.
Sorry about that.
Didn't
mean to mislead the
Or DOS
viewers,
is the operating system.
The listeners. Yeah. Yes.
Well, now they know it's the fifth wave, and four waves of increasingly deadly attacks have left most of Earth decimated against the backdrop
of... Or annihilated.
Sorry. No, precisely decimated.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully.
Each time.
We'll have to... Yeah.
Okay, you can decimate per wave. I could see that.
Yeah. See, there you go. Against the backdrop of fear and distress, Cassie is on the run, desperately trying to save her younger brother. As she prepares for the inevitable and lethal fifth wave, Cassie teams up with a young man who may become her final hope if she can only trust him. And we have The Boy. Greta is a young American woman who takes a job as a nanny in a remote English village, only to discover that the family's 8-year-old is a life-size doll that the parents care for just like a real boy, as a way to cope with the death of their actual son 20 years prior. After violating a list of strict rules, a series of disturbing and inexplicable events bring Greta's worst nightmare to life, leading her to believe that the doll is actually alive. Then in something completely different, Dirty Grandpa. Jason Kelly is 1 week away from marrying his boss's uber-controlling daughter, putting him on the fast track for a partnership with the law firm. However, when the straight-laced Jason is tricked into driving his foul-mouthed grandfather, Dick, to Daytona for spring break, his pending nuptials are suddenly in jeopardy. Between riotous frat parties, bar fights, and an epic night of karaoke, Dick is on a quest to save his life to the fullest, live his life to the fullest, and bring Jason along for the ride.
Oh, Zac Efron.
Oh, I know. And that Robert De Niro.
Bobby.
Which one is the Dirty Grandpa?
Ooh,
that's the mystery.
Oh, yeah.
That's the deep meaning of the whole movie, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
there's layers to it.
Yes. And finally,
like
Leftovers
and parfaits.
Yeah. I know I asked this last time. Is it IP or is it IP?
IP.
Okay. IP Man 3. That's right. Number 3.
Mm-hmm.
In this explosive third installment of the blockbuster martial arts series, when a band of brutal gangsters led by a crooked property developer played by Mike Tyson make a play to take over the city, Astor Ip is forced to take a stand. Fists will fly as some of the most incredible fight scenes ever filmed played out on the big screen in this soon-to-be classic of the genre. That is in the synopsis. I have no idea if it's going to be a soon-to-be classic.
Guaranteed.
That's very bold of...
Every Mike Tyson movie is soon to be a classic, let's be honest.
Although the fact that they're up to three is saying it's doing fairly well for itself. Right. So there's that.
Two is garbage.
Did you even see number? Did you even see one?
I did, actually.
Oh. There you go.
So there.
Legitimate question, though. Okay.
Doesn't it burn?
Over at the Blu-ray and DVD racks, you might consider picking up Diary of a Teenage Girl. This adaptation of Phoebe Goldecker's graphic novel, which is the same name, is about a girl in 1976 San Francisco who begins to make some questionable choices as she begins to understand her burgeoning sexuality. The film and the comic have been praised for their honest portrayals of this aspect of life. Then there is Eden on DVD. This film follows the real-life events of a French club DJ as he rides the rising tides of electronic music in the wake of Daft Punk. Then Everest on Blu-ray and DVD, also based on real events. This film follows two expeditions up the world's tallest mountain with a pretty impressive cast. And then...
An exclamation point.
Mm-hmm. And then to round out this pick with another strange... or a change of pace, it's Straight Outta Compton on Blu-ray and DVD. This feature follows the legendary hip-hop group N.W.A. The film has been a critical and financial success, and this release contains the director's cut as well as the theatrical release.
Ooh. Okay, meanwhile, in the world of video games, we have a ton of re-releases, as per usual. Number one in the re-release realm is the Resident Evil Zero.
Blood!
Yeah, if you aren't familiar, it first came out way back in 2002 on GameCube. It eventually made its way to PC, but now it's making its way to the Xbox and PlayStation ecosystems. Next
finally
up,
where I got started.
Right. Next, we have... one that kind of touches my heart a little bit, just because I remember watching a friend play this, like, way back when. Because it's an updated version. A Boy and His Blob.
Mm.
What?
The new version of it came out back in 2009. But it's coming to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Vita, and PC. Tomorrow. Nice. Next up, we have an actual new thing that's based on an old thing.
Revitalizing the series. The next step games
in,
do best.
Right. The next step in the Homeworld series is oddly not a regular Homeworld game. It's an RTS. Homeworld: Deserts of Karak. Actually, the buzz on this actually looks pretty good. It has kind of interesting things that kind of harken back to the old Dune RTS.
Ooh,
so
okay. I like that one.
That's definitely in my favorite wheelhouse. Then...
To be fair, Homeworld was also an RTS, but it was space-based, so like 3D space.
Right. Mm. This is on...
A planet.
There's flying stuff, too. So.
But it's still within an atmosphere.
Yeah. Homeworld, now with atmosphere. Okay, anyway. So, next up, we have another actual new thing, based on an old thing. Mario and Luigi Paper Jam is coming out on the 3DS at the end of the week. The plot actually sounds really interesting. I guess... the idea between the original Paper Mario, at least as far as this game is concerned, is that it was contained within a book. Mm-hmm. And so the real world Marios, or Mario and friends, end up coming across the book in a library, mistakenly dump it out, and all of the characters from the Paper Mario world end up in the regular Mario world.
Oh,
and
cool.
So they end up having the interaction between the two, which the gameplay looks pretty interesting. It combines fairly well the gameplay of an actual three-dimensional Mario with a 2D Mario and all of the benefits and drawbacks therein.
Very cool.
That's all of the video games, except for all of the ones that I didn't want to talk about.
Fair enough. Bouncing from video games to comic books, over at the fine halls of DC, it's Poison Ivy, The Cycle of Life and Death. Number one, Dr. Pamela Isley has a new job at Gotham Botanical Gardens, but her dream job turns sour quickly when a coworker is found murdered, and the evidence points to Pamela.
Uh-oh.
Just because a plant was involved in a botanical garden?
Who knows?
Oh, man.
Then over at Marvel, it's Silver Surfer, number one. Yeah, number one. After seeing the edge of the universe, what could you do for an encore? Go home. But home is full of monsters, magic, and much more.
Oh. Well, why'd you leave?
Let's see what the universe. Then there.
I'm bored of all of these magic and monsters.
At Dark Horse, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 10, Number 23. There is some dissension among the ranks of Buffy's allies, and an old enemy is tempting Andrew into the darkness. From Image, it's I Hate Fairyland, Number 4. Gert and Queen Claudia are face to face, but who will get to keep their face? IDW is bringing us G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, number 224. The Cobra World Order has many layers, and while the Joes think they have a moment's breath, Cobra has other plans. Their plans involve a traitor deep in the ranks of the Joes. La 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 la. And,
I don't think the Joes say that.
No. Cobras do bonk. And then our fine friends.
Cobras spit. I don't think they make that noise.
Our fine friends at Wow Cool have some recommendations for us this week as well. The Amazing Forest, number one. Dr. Fate, number eight. Wolf, number five. And Envelope Manufacturer, which is a graphic novel about a envelope manufacturer. And wow. the sort of.
You didn't ruin it for us. Right?
Rise and fall of business. It's interesting. It sounds very interesting, anyways.
Hmm. Wow. If you want to listen to KSU when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And, of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU. They are unique to us on the globe.
That's right.
Or find us faster by acquiring robot fingers.
Or saving it as a bookmark and then you just tap it. You want to listen to
that
it.
Is even faster to click on with your robot fingers.
Yep.
You're both, maybe? Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got, I'll round us out with some music. We've got a new album from Aiden Knight, Each Other. It's the third full-length release for the Canadian singer and songwriter. It was produced by Marcus Paquin. We've got The Waiting Room by Tindersticks. It's the 10th full-length studio release for the British indie rock band. Features guest appearances from Shani Beth of Savages and Lash DeSell. We've got Emotional Mugger by Ty Siegel. It's the 8th full-length release for the garage rock artist. Was produced with F. Bermudez. We've got Eleanor Friedberger
nice.
With a new album called New View. It's the 3rd full-length solo release for the singer-songwriter. Was produced with Clemens Nippler and recorded live to tape in upstate New York. And Adore Life by Savages, the 2nd full-length release for the post-punk quartet, was produced by Johnny Hostel.
Okay.
All right. So there's a sampling of some new releases that are dropping this week. We'll take another quick music break, and then we'll come back with the news. Mm-hmm. Shall we tease the folks some news?
Flowers. In space.
Oh, man.
Okay. Aliens in space.
Whoa.
Well, where else are they going to be?
Well, I mean, we haven't proven it yet. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Ooh, got you there. All right. Get ready for some space.
Space. It's coming at you. It's big.
It's big. It's fast.
It's really big.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back with more Robot Stack. It's here on KSU.
It's really quite large. Yeah.
Yes. Very, very big. Very big.
News.
That's right. We're back here in KSU Santa Clara with Robots Attack in the news.
The news. So we'll kick it off with the beginning of our space stories by talking about the first flower to bloom in space.
What?
Astronaut Scott Kelly, who is also doing two experiments right now. One is that he's staying in space for a whole year. And the second is he's helping grow a flower. In this case, it is a cheerful little zinnia. And
that sounds alien. I don't trust it.
The flower itself, this is all part of trying to understand if we can actually grow food in a low gravity environment, so that if we do,
I thought Matt Damon already proved this.
He was on a planet,
but that was low gravity, right?
But Mars is low. It's lower, but it's not microgravity in between planets. And if we do ever get off this rock, so to speak, and potentially do a colony ship someplace, we'll need to make sure we have plants that we can grow or sustain ourselves with as we get across the vast empty space between one planet and the next.
What are you, a Boy Scout with this being prepared stuff?
Well, one does need to be prepared.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
The plant had some interesting challenges, one of which was the fact that the leaves are curling, which means an indication of that the plant is under some degree of stress, which I'm sure will need to be studied a little bit more deeply.
I thought it was Canadian.
And they also noticed that there was mold growing on the leaves, which had to be trimmed away, and then they added a fan in the space habitat unit that was growing the plants to lower the moisture in the humidity. That's the word I was looking for. Humidity in there to make it more tolerable for the plants. But yes, we have our first successfully grown flower in space.
That's
kind of cool.
And it's the first step in the plan to eventually involve growing cabbage, lettuce, and other foods on the ISS, so that way we can potentially, expand what we understand to be survival in space.
For some reason, my brain automatically jumps to that like upside down planting product. It's like topsy turvy or something like that.
Oh, the ones that do the hydroponic.
I think it's literally just it functions just like anything else, except the plant grows upside down. But I think it's like tomatoes or whatnot.
Oh yeah, I've seen those where the vine grows down, but you hang the plant. They hang the roots above it.
Exactly. Yeah. See, it's already ready for the space station. you can't master the art of planting things much more besides growing them upside down, right?
Sure.
It's practically made for space.
Mm-hmm. Very possibly.
You don't sound
time will tell
completely sold.
Whether that will actually come true or not.
Okay. Okay, I have a long string of numbers that Ooh. I'm going to test to see if it means anything to you.
Okay.
It's KIC 84628532.
Not ringing
no.
any bells.
What about KIC 84628852? No. Okay. No. We've actually talked about them. Or I've talked about him quite a bit in the previous months, because mm-hmm. it's based.
Do tell.
It's the center of a bunch of craziness where people are trying to figure out if it's proof of aliens in a distant star system. And basically, what it was for those who aren't familiar with the story. There were enough weird readings coming from this star that it made the scientists involved wonder if it could be that they had something along the lines of either a Dyson sphere or a halo built around the star, because it kept doing really predictable pulses of energy that were easy to, like, really clock down to the second. Well, last we heard, it was written off as, well, okay, it's no good, no aliens. It pretty much has to be that there's these comets that are being sucked into the gravity of this star. And so everybody wrote it off, but that has been quashed now. It doesn't make sense anymore. So aliens are back on the table. Aliens are the new white meat.
Let's say literally, or is this more of a figurative, like the discussion of aliens is back on the table as opposed to the alien itself?
Kind of. I mean, because effectively, if you don't have these comets causing this problem, you're back at square one. There's nothing that makes more sense than actual objects sitting in stationary orbit around this thing. So, yeah, we literally have no idea what it is anymore, because they apparently actually proved that the comet thing does not work. And how they did it was actually kind of interesting, too, because initially they thought that they didn't have a whole bunch of information on this thing, on this location, going back for a long chunk of time. But they ended up contacting some other astrologers.
And astronomers?
Astrologers.
Astronomers.
They learned all about, like, Cancer and Pisces. And since that wasn't related to anything,
get out of here.
Then they talked to some astronomers. Anyway, so they've actually been measuring the light from this system for a number of years, and it basically has been shown that the light has been steadily dropping for all of the years that it has been observed, which doesn't fit at all. I don't know why, but doesn't fit at all with the previous idea, because apparently it should have been like about the same amount of light or more light or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, it fits more and more with, during this time, something actually out there building something.
Ooh. What?
Anyway, it's still, like, crazy long shot, but we literally have no idea, again, on why this would be. Which, I mean, we're not often stumped by something like this. So it's kind of a big deal.
We're
going with aliens.
Not saying it's
Pure
aliens.
Pure robots tech.
But it's aliens.
Right.
Aliens with robots?
Ooh. Robotic aliens.
Well, I mean, how do you build something that big steadily over a course of years to decrease the light of a star by up to 20% other than with robotics
created by
aliens?
Maybe it's the beginnings of the Traveler.
It might very well just be the Traveler itself. Which, again, back to aliens.
True.
So,
it's true. Yeah. But then we get to colonize Venus. And Mars.
You should have seen how excited he was about
very
that.
Very excited to colonize Venus.
Man, somebody loves Venus.
Someone does.
It's my favorite of the world so far in Destiny.
Oh, okay. Oh, in a fictional realm. I thought you were into science and stuff, but hey, whatever.
Go with that fake science.
Right.
Okay, so apparently at CES, Intel...
Oh, fake science.
Well, not everything comes to life, I don't think, but apparently Intel has created a dress that detects adrenaline levels.
Huh.
So the high fashion garment looks like...
What about a kilt?
Well, maybe down the line this works and sells well, maybe or something.
Yeah, sure.
It looks like it'd be right at home in the capital from the Hunger Games. It is an interesting picture. The article has an image of it.
Okay.
Except this dress can actually help the wearer manage their stress levels. Partnering with architect turned fashion designer Becca McCarran's sportswear label Chromat, Intel has created the expanding dress. The garment's very form expands and collapses based on sensory data gathered from the user's stress and adrenaline levels. The dress is constructed of memory alloy, which remembers its original shape, neoprene and corset boning, and 3D printed nylon. So you get a little three D printed action in there. The 3D printed dress has a sleek back body and skeletal angular lattice work on the back that gives the impression of a peacock refracted through the lens of both Carl Lagerfeld and H.R. Geiger. The when we post our articles, a lot of them have cool videos or pictures and stuff like that. So you'll be able to see, here's an image of the
interesting
the dress. There you go.
Do you think that will show up in the female reboot of Crank? Instead of Jason Statham, I have a lady wearing a dress like that, and has to like keep her adrenaline level high enough that
I would have never guessed that would be where you would go with this.
Well, it measures.
I'm saying yes. it makes perfect sense.
If they weren't thinking about it before, they should now.
Right.
It turns out it's like a wingsuit at that point, and has to keep her adrenaline level high.
Nice.
I have no idea.
So what makes the dress smart exactly?
It's like Just Cause / Crank.
Wow.
Just Crank.
How does it detect the biometric statistics? It's powered by an Intel Curie module, a small button-sized computer used in many existing wearable devices. Curie works in tandem with a variety of sensors that are able to detect changes in the wearer's biometrics, such as perspiration, respiration, and body heat, all of which indicate adrenaline shifts. So, looks like a number of Chromat designs, a label furnished Taylor Swift's futuristic swimwear in her Bad Blood video, created Beyonce's 2013 Super Bowl outfit, and has provided other garments for artists like Nicki Minaj and Madonna. So, there's even a video. You can see the dress in action. So there you go. Sort of the future of, we had smart watches, smartphones, and now maybe the smart dress.
The smart material. Very cool.
That could be a cool thing.
Here's something that's not cool, though. Health fraud.
Uh-oh.
The Food and Drug Administration advises you to beware of health fraud. Be suspicious of products that claim to cure many diseases or that promise quick fixes. Remember that success stories are easy to make up. More information is available at fda.gov/healthfraud.
Yeah. Yeah, whoa there, Tex. One disease at a time.
Yeah.
Not many.
You don't want to get mixed up in that. But something that might potentially mix us up and send us out into space is the SpaceX rocket program.
Wow.
Oh.
Now, the one of the leading challenges with this, almost all of the rockets that have been designed up until this point, are that they are non-recoverable.
Yes.
At least not easily. Most of them drop into the ocean, and then maybe with great expense.
Bits of them are recoverable.
Yeah, and then maybe with great expense and time, they are drawn out of the deep. Both Elon Musk's SpaceX and Jeff Bezos' Blue Origins have been working on returning rockets back to Earth in one piece so that they are reusable.
Go Bezos!
SpaceX has most recently been known for trying to land their rockets on a floating platform out in the ocean. This has been met with very interesting yet mixed results, and the most recent landing is still in the mixed category.
Oh, beautiful disasters.
But it is a very beautiful disaster watching that thing, like, because it's like set to land and then one of the legs folds unexpectedly, and then kaboom.
It's literally like it's landing. It's like, this is kind of cool, but I'm tired.
They're still uncovering what the actual source of the failure is, but the fact that they have been able to four times consecutively get the rocket to the destination into a position where it might actually have landed is no small feat, considering the fact that the company was only founded back in 2002. And they did, not so very long ago, actually last year, did make a successful return to ground at a different launch and landing site. So it is not impossible, but when you add the motion of the ocean, you end up with a slightly more precarious position for your rocket to land onto. So it's exciting because...
Do you suppose Elon Musk is like, never tell me the odds?
Yeah, only tell me that after I've accomplished it. So
I live my life one quarter rocket at a time.
I think it's a whole rocket for him at a time, because a quarter rocket's not going to get you very far. But anyways.
Imagine how fast it would be, though.
So while it is disappointing that it did not succeed in its landing, we're still that much closer to it, and we're getting lots of good data off of this. And the rocket did deliver the payload successfully up to space. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, nice.
There's that as well.
What did it deliver? Was it?
It was the...
A load of stuffed animals.
No, the Jason 3 satellite, which is designed to study the ocean, movement of the ocean, and the quality of the water, to see how or if it is being affected by global climate change.
Okay.
And also just to understand it better, since we only know so much about the ocean.
It's very big.
Yeah. It is rather large.
It's vast.
Only like 70% of the surface of the planet or something like that.
Okay. Nearly as shrouded in mystery as the ocean itself is the Civil War.
Ooh.
Which one?
Marvel?
That's a good question. It is Marvel Civil War. Oh, but okay. Maybe not the one that... probably thought. Because, if you hadn't heard, they're coming out with a Civil War movie that is based in the Captain America universe.
Yep. Captain America.
It's going to clash with the Tony Stark universe. Anyway, so since that's kind of covering old ground and it's a kind of different twist on an old story that graced the comic book pages, I think like 5-10 years ago, something like that.
Almost,
a while back, they decided that they needed synergy yet again, and yet another Civil War is cropping up on the pages of the comics.
Goodness. Okay.
And so people have known that this was coming for a little while, but they didn't know what the motivating factor was going to be and who was going to be involved. And if you're sensitive to spoilers, I'll give you a second to tune
Get
out
over it.
For like 20 seconds. But anyway, so the basic plot line as it stands right now is that... Apparently somebody has popped into existence or has gained the ability to read the future with such accuracy that they can tell when crimes are going to be committed or major bad things.
Okay.
Oh. So one group of people wants to use this to prevent crimes by locking people up or doing similar things.
Oh, that's Minority Report over again.
It is Minority Report. So the other group of people, of course, is against it. The interesting part is that they kind of flipped sides on like who the crazy people are versus the last time around. Tony Stark, the new Captain America, who used to be Falcon, Star-Lord, are the confirmed people so far who are against the Minority Report scenario.
Okay.
For the Minority Report scenario are Spider-Man, She-Hulk, and, I always forget her name.
Carol Danvers?
Yes, Carol Danvers.
Otherwise known as Captain Marvel?
Yes. The other captain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it sounds interesting, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all hashes out, since, in my view, the last one kind of went crazy.
A little bit.
Is there a release date for this one, or...?
I don't see an actual date for it, but I know the plan was to have it running at the same time as the movie.
As the movie. Oh, okay. All right. Well, unless there's another story you have to get to, I'll wrap us up with this day in history.
Do it.
Okay, in 1915. 1915.
Wow.
1915. Mm-hmm. The electric neon sign was patented in the United States by George Claude of Paris, France.
Back then, I think it would be patented.
Yeah. Patented.
Yeah. You have to pronounce it weird if you're old-timey.
Yeah. A good thing I'm not. Then we jump to the 50s, 1953. Lucy Ricardo gave birth to baby Ricky on I Love Lucy. More people tuned in to watch the show than the inauguration of President Eisenhower.
Hmm. Wow.
Speaking of
synergy.
Yeah. Speaking of President Eisenhower, in 1955, he okayed the first filming of a news conference for television. Then in 1966, Gandhi was elected Prime Minister of India.
Huh. Is he like a famous person? Or?
Stop it.
A little bit.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. You might have heard his name before.
Yeah. Then in 1981, the United States and Iran signed an agreement paving the way for the release of 52 Americans held hostage for more than 14 months.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
It's kind of echoing present.
Yeah.
In 1997, Yasser Arafat returned to Iran for the first time in 30 years.
Oh, wow. Haven't heard his name in a long time.
Yep. Control of the West Bank city to Palestinians. And then in 2001, not a space odyssey, President Clinton admitted he made false statements under oath about Monica Lewinsky.
Hmm.
And the movie Space Odyssey.
I did not see it with her
right.
at any time.
Depends on your definition of the word odyssey.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening and tuning in. And it's never too late to participate. Even though the show is at the end, it's still a chance for you to participate.
That's right. And if you would like to participate right now or in the near future, go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. You can also find links to the stories that we've talked about this evening there as well. And if you're just like, wait, that's two places. I just want one place. If you want one place, go to robotsattack.me. That is our website. We have archives of the show there. We also have links to the other to everything that we've talked about, and it's good times. You can leave comments there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be awesome.
Yes. All right. We'll catch you next week. And remember, if you want to participate with us on the watch party, it's the first and second episode of Devil's a Part-Timer. So, all right, we'll catch you next time. Take it easy.
Raccoon. Baratin. Misto.